The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I'm Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berga. Follow us on all our social media platforms. On the Facebook page, just go to facebook.com/highspotpodcast. And also on Instagram and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast, as well as our brand spanking new website, highspotpodcast.com. Trendsetter, so much to talk about. But first of all, what are the networks that people can listen to us?
Well, there are several, Jeff, the networks can listen to. It's the Shining Wizards, and we want to congratulate them on their 6-year anniversary of being a network. So great to be a part of them. You can also listen to us on the Fans Podcast and as well as B Plus Player Radio Network. Hey, guys, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating, too. You just find yourself on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean. You know, leave us a 5-star review. Let us know how we're doing. I think we're doing great here, but again, you guys, the crew, are the reason why the High Spot Podcast is so popular. So definitely, you can check us out on all those platforms, Jeff.
Yeah, man, and on TuneIn, too. I didn't even know we were on TuneIn until one day I was going through the Shining Wizards and B+. We're actually on that, too. So we were always talking about being on TuneIn. So now we're actually on TuneIn, so that's a great thing, and we didn't even know.
Hey, the more you know.
Yeah, so, but I also want to say, listen, so many things going on, and we're going to get to them, but we are joined by Jordan Grace today. Thick Mama Pump will join us here on the High Spot Podcast. Kind of a little continuation of the beautiful ladies that have come to the High Spot Podcast and join us.
Well, what can I say? The Jersey Wrecking Crew,
all you,
the trendsetter, you know, brings them along. No, but again, that's just kind of an extension of, you know, the excitement we had celebrating the 1-year anniversary of Battle Club Pro, being a part of that in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, having the opportunity to speak to a Matt Cross, talking to Santana Garrett, and now having Jordan Grace on the show. This is a long time coming, Jeff, because we've been trying to get her on the show. She's extremely busy, and so we're
Duncan
able to catch her
time after time.
People
after
we had
time.
To pay off and stuff like that. But again, we're able to have her on the show, and it was a joy. Because like all the interviews you've had is just a continuation of the enjoyment we have interviewing people, and I would like to say they actually have a good time talking to us. So it was great talking to Jordan and getting an insight of what's going on in her career and what's going on in the world of women's wrestling.
So she will grace us with her presence, and
oh boy,
you know, again, I love using that joke, but listen, a lot of stuff going on, especially, but I just want to give ourselves a little clap because we actually partnered up with Ram Tough Designs, and we actually will debut the High Spot Podcast banner. And it's a vertical banner that's actually going to be displayed, so when we do the interviews, it's just a little bit more professional. We have something behind there, and I'm definitely excited. You can check out our Twitter feed there, see some pictures, and yeah, just glad we were able to make the connection. Thanks to Mark Adam Haggerty, and again, definitely make sure if you guys need any kind of designs whatsoever, not just for wrestling, but if you need t-shirts done, if you need anything whatsoever, they actually do designs for the turnbuckles. They do so many things. They even sell you stands for your banner, which, you know, luckily it's convenient for us. And so we want to thank everyone at Ram Tough Designs for their help. So we'll be glad to debut that banner on December 9th in Rahway, New Jersey. So that's something interesting going on for the High Spot Podcast.
Exciting. We're taking leaps and bounds in terms of levels of looking not only acting professional, but looking professional as well. And perception is reality. And when you go out there, you want to be legit. And with the banner, the tablecloth, like you forgot to mention too, that we're going to have out there. So when we do our show from certain locations, people will know where the High Spot Podcast
is. You got to have your brand. Like we talked to so many wrestlers. And
branding,
that's what you need
basically to
do. You have to brand your, not brand it.
Not, yeah.
Well, you want to brand it. Yeah, you don't want to you know, well obviously. But, yeah, so that's exciting news, too.
Just give me your particulars.
So that's very great to hear that we're just, you know, continuing to advance this podcast.
We're evolving, Jeff. That's basically
we're evolving.
Where we're
hopefully we'll have some announcements, too, about the future of the show and, you know, just good things to come, hopefully, in 2018. Of course, we will be at Final Battle on December the 15th for Ring of Honor. So that should be interesting, too. It's going to be our first Ring of Honor event that we attend. So you hear good things. And that Manhattan Center crowd is you know, really lively, so I'm looking forward to that, man. So you know,
it's the first time for me to be in the Manhattan Center, so it'd be nice.
Yeah, so speaking of the Manhattan Center, speaking of Final Battle, I guess we're gonna start off today's episode with, you know, Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and what they're planning in 2018. It's gonna be very interesting because they're all in, and that is going to be the name of their event that they're going to have in 2018. What exactly it's going to, when it's going to be, we don't know, but it's going to be something that very different that they're going to do, and that is they're going to finance themselves a 10,000 seat arena. And it's something that Dave Meltzer has talked about, where he said that Ring of Honor can't sell out more than a, you know, 4,000 seat arena. So this is going to be interesting. And kind of Cody Rhodes is not just said that he's going to take him up on that offer, that they can, but he's also really serious about it, because from what you're hearing is all but done, and they're just going to have to pick the venue. There's so many places like New York, Chicago, LA, Ontario, where they did the invasion on Raw is one of the suggested venues, but this is going to happen. And it just shows how in 2017, heading into 2018, the state of independent wrestling is just skyrocketing, and how it's just evolved where anyone can succeed. And just your thoughts on Cody Rhodes going into this venture along with the Young Bucks. It seems like everything they touch is turning into gold. The merch, the social media. Now they're trying to sell out a 10,000 seat arena, something that hasn't been done, that Ring of Honor hasn't neared, you know, doing. And Cody Rhodes is going to attempt this with the Young Bucks. Can they succeed?
Yes, they can succeed. And I think the proof is in everything you just described, Jeff. I mean, we talk about the Young Bucks and the business savvy. A lot of people might not think of it when you watch, you know, videos like Being the Elite and how goofy they are sometimes. And they don't tend to take themselves too seriously. But when it comes to business, they take it very seriously. That's why they've been so successful merging. That's why they got to deal with Hot Topic, things that have never been done in terms of on the independent scene. And that's a perfect example. Cody Rhodes has developed a name outside of the WWE. Granted, he became a, you could say, a household name now, but he's become a name using the WWE as a platform. But everything he's done to this point on, whether it be going around the indies and now signing exclusively with Ring of Honor, I mean, he is now becoming literally one of those guys, as we talked to about, like, for example, a Kenny Omega, that a lot of people aren't paying much attention to but need to. So yeah, I think it's going to be successful. I think the fans right now, in terms of how we spoke about branding yourself, how the High Spot Podcast wants to brand itself, land itself, be known out there by more people, and people recognizing who we are in terms of logo and ourselves as we talk here on the show on the High Spot Podcast. But I think it's going to be clearly very successful. I mean, you wouldn't dive into a situation like this and take a risk if it wasn't calculated. I think Cody, as well as the Young Bucks, know what they're doing right now. I think the following these two have, you know, with Young Bucks and Cody, I think the following is so intense that so many people are behind them that they want to see this succeed as well, because it not only benefits them, but it benefits the business as well.
So I'm glad you said that about branding. So I'm going to get to the question that a lot of people who are anti this actually succeeding are going to get to. But the other thing is, you got to check out our YouTube channel. We have just put out our first episode, and that involves Santana Garrett. So go to High Spot Podcast on YouTube, hit that up, and you'll see Santana Garrett interview from last week. It's posted. So as we venture off and we start branding and we start becoming more of a name, we're putting our YouTube channel out there. It's very important because, again, the audio is great, but the video quality is something that we need to do. And also, the Trendsetter will be kind of venturing off a little bit in his own world there, where he, I'm going to call it the Adventures of the Trendsetter, and you've got some great interviews lined up. The first one, which will premiere by the same time that this show comes out here. You know, let's just talk about that first.
Well, like I said, the Avengers go out wanting to step outside the box and do things somewhat differently. I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, all forms of entertainment, I feel, are open for us to kind of attack, whether it be, you know, entertainment in terms of Hollywood, entertainment in terms of, you know,
sports, entertainment.
Sports. And, you know, sports entertainment, exactly, right? And so I ventured off in something that, you know, was around the area, because we live in the metropolitan area, and that was basically an event that a lot of people don't talk about as much, but, you know, it's still worldwide in terms of the same type of a following that professional wrestling has, and, you know, that's the adult film industry. And I went to Exotica, it was in Edison, New Jersey, and I went there took a shot, wanted to get some credentials. The people there were very willing to allow me to go there. So I thank all the people that work at Exotica to allow me to venture off and do this. And I went there and I took my my camera, I took my microphone, and I went and did some interviews. And the one thing you'll see from the first episode that you'll see me put up on YouTube, it's with Jessa Rhodes. And this woman here, not only is she stunning and incredibly beautiful, but you know what you'll notice more about these women, including Jessa Rhodes herself. If you guys want to follow her, you know, follow her and Google her. I'm not going to tell you everything. Look it up yourself, you lazy bastards. Is that they're very business savvy as well. So kind of what we're talking about, the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes, of branding yourself, going out there, not needing the juggernaut or the machine like the WWE. You are your own independent contractor. You have to make a name for yourself. And when you look at, for example, we've had Lisa Ann on the show before. I think it was the fourth episode. She is a perfect example of she's made her name. She's a household name in terms of everybody knows who Lisa Ann is in a way.
She's doing fantasy sports.
She retired from the adult film industry, has moved on, seems like seamlessly to fantasy sports radio, and has done a great job. Has her own podcast coming out. It's already out now. It's called The Lisa Ann Experience. And so she's just transcending quickly because she's very business savvy, and that's why I want to give it an opening. Yes, it's a fantasy. It's exciting. They're beautiful, gorgeous women, but at the same time, it's a business, and it's a thriving business as well if you're competitive enough to do the work to get there.
Plus, you want a visual, too, if you're having these interviews, because I can say it's Jessa Rhodes, you said?
Jessa Rhodes.
Uh-huh. Jessa Rhodes, right? So, obviously, if I'm a male adult between 18 and 45, I want not only to have the audio, but I want to have a visual. So, that's exactly. The trendsetter is venturing off to on the YouTube channel.
Believe
so
me, it's not for me in terms of people wanting to see my ugly mug. It's to see these beautiful, attractive, smart, strong business women, and for you guys to enjoy it.
Yeah, so, you know, that is coming up in the very near future, which is starting this, you know, by the time the show drops. So Friday, not only will you have Jordan Grace also available on YouTube to see her lovely face, but you'll also get to
what,
see
what
Jessa
better way
Rhodes.
To start out December, Jeff, right? Two for one. You get the lovely, beautiful, talented Jordan Grace, and you get the lovely, beautiful Jessa Rhodes. I mean, you can't ask for anything more. So check out our YouTube channel, guys. High Spot Podcast. Check it out. Subscribe, like, view it as many times as you want. Tell your friends to view it too. We'd love the support. And if you love what we do on the show, you're going to see a lot more in terms of what we're doing in terms of video as well.
Now, the negative about this whole thing with Cody Rhodes being all in, and that's going to be their name, it's going to be one huge independent promotion, one night where everyone's going to get together and you're going to have great matches. But for the naysayer, for the one that doesn't want to believe this is possible, you talked about Cody Rhodes using WWE as a platform. What about those people that say, well, the only way Cody Rhodes is able to even do this is because he had WWE left and now he's making a name for himself?
Well, I would say use the perfect example, Jeff, of the Young Bucks. You know, they were part of WWE for a while, but weren't very well known, made a name for themselves independently on the independent scene. So did Kenny Omega. There are a lot of individuals, especially when you look at New Japan and Ring of Honor, who have made names for themselves on the indie scene, whether they've gone to Impact when it was called TNA Porn Pass, or just had some type of TV exposure. Now using the internet and social media, like we always talk about with our guests and how important that is, how we're using it as well, I think right now you can use the excuse, oh, well, Cody was part of WWE for so many years. He's more recognized. But how many other people have left WWE, had the same platform, but haven't been as successful?
So there's got to be a drive. You know what I mean? There has to be, like, for example, of course, news broke also too when Emma got released that, you know, it was one of her, you know, probably the toughest news that she ever heard.
Probably the toughest now, day she's ever had.
Yeah, and now her first booking now will be at WrestlePro on February 3rd in 2018. Yeah. So she's venturing off too. So you have to have a plan. It seems like Cody Rhodes had a plan. It seems like this was well thought out, especially when he left, because I'm pretty sure he was thinking about leaving like a while ago before he even gave his notice and before he left. I think he was mulling it over and talking to the right people, and the same thing that's going on now. He's talking to the right people, trying to make sure that he does it right. And if, you know, knowing Cody Rhodes and his passion for the business, I think that whenever this comes out in 2018, I think it's going to be very successful. And you got the Young Bucks, too, that are businessmen. These guys have not only become wrestlers, these guys have become businessmen. They really know what they're doing. So I totally think it's going to be a success. It's going to really sell out a 10,000-seat arena. Now, Cody Rhodes also mentioned his dream opponent would be Daniel Bryan. Now, of course, the rumors are if he leaves WWE in September, he would be cleared. He wants to wrestle again. Even his wife has said that Brie has said that she wouldn't stop her husband from chasing his dream of wrestling again. Now, You know, rumors are running rampant with the way he's being programmed with Shane McMahon. Could he be cleared in the future to come back to the WWE ring? Or will he wait to go on the independents and have like a match, for example, against Cody Rhodes? And could that match alone sell out a 10,000-seat arena?
I think that match alone could sell a 10,000-seat arena. To see Bryan Danielson, if he did go to Ring of Honor against Cody Rhodes, would be something we've all wanted to see. Now, I think we kind of saw a little bit of these two interact in WWE, but never to this extent. And it would be great just for the buildup of the return of Bryan Danielson to the ring after so many years out of the ring. So yeah, it would be exciting. It would sell out, no question, just on that main event alone, because it would be a main event. In terms of Daniel Bryan coming back to the WWE and wrestling, you know, you always like to use the adage in this wrestling business, never say never. The WWE's made it perfectly clear that they will never, ever clear him from, you know, they have never come out and said it, but from their actions and what's going on where he's been cleared by other doctors, but WWE doctors don't want to clear him. And that's really the only hurdle he has to jump.
But they've usually put a hold on, for example, when they were teasing him in The Miz, they kind of put a kibosh on that because, hey, we don't want to tease the fans that there's maybe a chance for you to come back when there isn't. Now they got this whole thing with Shane McMahon where obviously leading to a conflict of some sort because they're not on the same page. It's also leading to something where you're thinking like, oh, you know, Daniel Bryan is taking, you know, a little bit, you know, more steps, a little bit more ballsy in the way he talks about Shane McMahon and the way he talks to him. You're like, okay, maybe it's leading into, I don't see WWF stopping that. So it kind of makes me believe that we could see him in the ring again in WWE ring.
Yeah, the WWE always likes to put the kibosh on things like that. I don't know why. It always just causes, in my opinion, more intrigue to watch
it. But they haven't done it now.
But they haven't done it, you're right. But I don't know if the ultimate payoff will be a physical confrontation with not just Shane, but with anybody. They could be teasing it, but the altercation, the end result could be something that you and I have not looked for. It could be more of a firing. It could be more of that he's let go of his contract early and has the ability of going somewhere else. So we'll see. Only time will tell on this one. But in all likelihood, I feel that Daniel Bryan will return to the ring, or Bryan Danielson if he goes to the Ring of Honor. It's just now a matter of when.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see. But right now, it's amazing how the independent scene is kind of taking the headlines this week as far as like being in the wrestling news with all the news that there has been. It's the independent scene that's being talked about when we open up the show. We're talking about a 2018 super show that's going to be financed by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, and it could be something amazing. It all starts to me January 4th at Tokyo Dome when Chris Jericho takes on Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 12. That to me is going to start my year out amazing because I cannot wait to watch that. And whenever this thing happens, it's going to be, listen, it's going to be a great 2018. Right now, with everything going on, we're almost in WrestleMania season, and we're going to get Wrestle Kingdom 12, and then this super show in 2018. I'm excited, man. I cannot wait. The future is bright for professional wrestling, and we're excited to cover it again in 2018.
Which, of how could you not be excited, right? I mean, we're all excited for WrestleMania coming around in April, March, around that time. But when you look at Christmas, and then you look in January to Wrestle Kingdom 12, it's going to be exciting. I mean, Christmas will actually be in January as well if you're a professional wrestling fan. And like we've spoken about several times with guests and ourselves as we talk on the show, it's just a great time to be a wrestling fan in general because there's just so much out there. Sometimes it can feel a little bit overwhelming, a little oversaturated at times, but just great because you have so many options to go out there. And I think it's great that you and I think this is the first time in a while that you and I have opened the show talking about the independent scene. A lot of times we're talking about what happened on the last pay-per-view, what's going on Raw and SmackDown. I'm actually excited. It's refreshing a little bit. I'm sure the crew appreciates it that we're actually talking about something other than WWE. Because believe it or not, folks, and I'm sure you know this because you wouldn't be part of the crew if you didn't know, but there's a world outside WWE.
Yeah, and it's been in such a lull right now that, you know, you have to look at other things because if you watch the product right now, you're just scratching your head and you're like saying, why am I watching this? And again, it just goes through some lulls, especially with Raw that has about 2 months to go before the Royal Rumble. So obviously, independent scene is great, but I'm excited for our next guest, and that is Jordynne Grace. Thick Mama Pump graces us with our presence here on the High Spot Podcast. But
graces us with her presence.
With her presence. Oh, well, I didn't say it.
So graced us with our presence.
Okay. Let me start again.
Sure. Just say, yeah, I'm excited for our next guest.
But you know what, Brian? I'm excited for our next guest. That's what I'm looking forward to, and that is Jordynne Grace. Thick Mama Pump is going to join us. She's going to grace us with her presence. So looking forward to that. But before we do, we got to talk about our sponsor, Collar and Elbow. It's an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out the entire 2017 fall fashion line, you got to go to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. And just like the trendsetter has his amazing collar and elbow flex fit hat on right now, you got to go collar and elbow. And Merry Christmas to everyone here listening to the High Spot Podcast.
So like I said, we had a chance to speak to Jordan Grace. It was a long time coming. Sometimes the best things in life are worth waiting for, and she was as well. So we had a chance to talk to her. It was Battle Club Pro, 1 year anniversary. We were there in Richfield Park, New Jersey, speaking to the one and only Thick Mama Pump, Jordan Grace.
All right, High Spot Podcast, Battle Club Pro Special Edition, Richfield Park, New Jersey. They All Fall Down, 1 year anniversary show, and we are graced by Jordan Grace. Thick Mama
Wow, you're just
Pump.
Waiting to pull that one out of the hat, Bat, weren't you,
Jordan? How are you?
I've never heard that one before. Honestly.
No, really?
I've heard it so many times, but...
That should be... There you go.
Oh, sorry, I didn't have it on.
That's all right.
That'll be a shirt. Graced, grace your presence. There you go. That's one right there. Free, you know...
I got you.
Well, anyway, Jeff, after that brutal announcement there. Yes, we are distracted because we have been admiring Santana Garrett.
Oh, my goodness.
We?
Santana is so beautiful. She's standing over there at the table right now, and she just looks incredible. I see him. She's looking at me right now.
Yeah. That is. It went
she heard me, and
it
she
went
looked
right
at
commissioner.
Me. But yes, Santana Garrett is very distracting.
Well, we thank you so much for your time. I know we've been trying to schedule this for a while. We know you're extremely busy, so we thank you for taking a few minutes to come and speak to us. I mean, coming here, we've been in this building before. You've been here before. You've won a title in this building before.
Yes.
What's it like now, going in and working for Battle Club Pro? How did that come about?
I've worked for Battle Club Pro like three or four times. And I'm not going to lie, I don't even remember how I got booked for this, but I think I actually reached out to them because I was like, it was when I first moved to the area when I got booked. And I reached out to them, and they said they wanted to have me on, and so that's how it all came about. I actually wrestled Darius Carter.
We had Darius on, and that's one of the highlight matches for him.
Oh, did he shit all over me?
Yeah. Oh, he was like, I had to treat Jordan like she's like any other guy in front of me, and man, that was brutal.
He slapped the shit out of me for real.
That was
like he was hitting me.
How do you? Hey, but you gave it back though, so it's like
I did give it back. I was just talking to Darius about how dangerous he was in the back though, you know, because that whole thing was happening with him being like dangerous.
Oh yeah.
Dangerous wrestler there with the just don't have him whip out a belt.
I told him I was gonna join in the onslaught of wrestlers that were
oh really
shitting on him online.
Oh wow,
he hates me.
Who could hate Jordan?
A couple days ago. You kind of tweeted out about a list because the PWI has the top 50, or well, has the men's list, and then it came out with the female list, top 50.
Yeah.
And you came out with what I think is a legit top 50.
Thank you.
And I was like, you should put yourself on it, but you were like, I ran a company and I put the title on myself.
Yep.
Talk about women's wrestling right now, and talk about your 50 compared to the ones at the PWI.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I haven't even seen the PWI women's top 50. I have not seen it. The only thing I heard about it was like everybody was like, I guess they didn't like it.
Well, I guess
that was the big thing.
Well, Santana was like 42 or something like that, which is mind-boggling to me.
There were a lot of people that were really low on the list that, of course, shouldn't be. But it's a fake list, guys. It's a fake list.
I could agree with you more.
I mean,
it's all under interpretation.
Yeah, it's all under interpretation. We all know that WWE gets a certain amount of spots from PWI like per year. It's a fake thing. I mean, there's some girls that have, like, was Rachel Ellering on the list?
I don't remember seeing her.
No.
And Tessa was, like...
Tessa, like, went down a spot,
yeah,
and she's been
like,
having an incredible year.
It's like
and
crazy.
Rachel's been having an incredible year. Like, she's huge now, you know? And there's just a lot of girls that should have been on the list that weren't. My list is even, like, I feel like it's very, obviously, USA-based.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a lot of, like,
international,
Japanese wrestlers and international wrestlers, so... It's heavy. It's USA heavy. I included some of the girls that I know are incredible, like, you know, Toni Storm and I just thought about this, but you know Shazza McKenzie?
I think I'm blonde,
like really pretty girl. Yeah, I forgot to put her on my list, but that just goes to show like
there's so many.
There's so many
exactly.
people. They need to just do away with the PWI Women's Top 50 and put those girls in the 500.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of those guys in the 500 have you actually heard of?
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
with the men, you can submit an application.
Really?
Slide them a 20
and
you're set. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, Yeah, so you are going to have WWE names, but, I mean, your list, really, I looked at it and was like, yeah, it's on point. But, again, whether you're 32, 34, I mean, it's just a number, right? You really shouldn't be identified by the number that you are.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all, you know, it's all bullshit, so.
Okay, so another thing.
Am I allowed to cuss?
Yes.
Okay.
Cuss away, Big Mama Pump.
Too late to go back now, anyway. So.
Yeah, it's true. I've said a lot of cuss words.
Now, I got to ask you, how did Braun Strowman not die after that mad beat down by Roman Reigns? And then I'm looking at the thing, and Brian's like, that's Jordan Grace. And I'm like,
I said nonchalant, oh, it's Jordan.
Yeah.
And then I tweeted the fact that Kurt Angle had bewilderment behind him. I was like, that's a fact, because Jordan Grace wasn't part of the Mae Young Classic. That's why.
I remember you said that.
So talk about that experience and watching a killing there at that pay-per-view.
That was honestly so crazy. I'm not that dedicated. Like, obviously, you know, wrestling isn't real, but that was
breaking news. What? Okay.
Don't do that. Okay. That was still like a huge risk they took, just like doing that ridiculous stunt. Yeah. Like, I was just, I mean, they crashed an ambulance.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine how much money that cost? And like, I was amazed, and I was just like, I mean, my reactions was real. I was just like, whoa. And I know I was smiling at one point, but I was just like, what is happening?
I think you were like, whoa, and like, wait, oh, the camera's probably on me. So I just started smiling a little bit too. But no, it was definitely cool. And that was amazing. How's catering, by the way?
Catering is
I hear.
It's always
hear,
A1. It's always
yeah,
A1.
Yeah, I always hear that about
That's
it.
How I got like this, guys. Like, catering.
Oh, please.
Stop it. Stop it, woman. But something I want to ask you is, you know, Jeff and I always talk about, you know, social media being so popular. You're very active on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, for us as being fans, it's such a great time, a great boom in professional wrestling, because, you know, there's so many things out there. Mm-hmm. You have WWE, obviously. You have Lucha Underground. You have Ring of Honor. You have New Japan Wrestling, for example, yep, we follow. So there's just so much stuff to watch as a fan. But we also think the same perspective is to be a wrestler in this business, too. It's also pretty good, too, because I'm sure everybody's ultimate goal is WWE. But, you know, if you want to go through different avenues to get there eventually, you have that opportunity now. Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same way, too, using social media as a tool right now is the best way to brand yourself and market yourself as Jordan Grace?
If you do it the right way, like, I say some very questionable things on social media that, you know, I love Lio Rush, and, you know, that was a huge thing that just happened.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to really watch what you say, and, like, some things I say, I know I cuss too much on social media. That's one of the big things I've been trying to, like, get back from, and I just, like, I say things, and I'm like, why did I say that? And I tweet a lot, and I delete it, because I'm just like, yeah, don't do that.
So,
but it's a great way to, like, brand yourself and get yourself out there if you're doing it the right way.
So talk about that. If you're in the locker room and you see, you know, and your coworker is, you know, let go, you don't want to see that happen to your coworker. Like, do you think it's something that it should have, you know, at first you should have gotten some heat about it and then let it go? Or do you think it's just this business where it's a wrestling business, you're going to get heat no matter what?
I mean, it's wrestling, you're going to get heat no matter what. I think the best thing to do is to not say anything at all in those kind of situations. Like, I mean, I just saw Leo like a few months ago, and I know that he didn't mean anything bad by it.
Of course.
But just the fact that he's new there, the fact that he's so young, the fact that he's like 2 or 3 years in, everything is like going against him. But you can see how liked he is by like who stood up for him. Like,
yeah, William Regal.
I know. Like, yeah, I mean, dude is sick. Like, honestly, he is sick.
You know my feelings are of William Regal, Jeff.
Well, I mean, he should
do a better job as commissioner.
But
standing up for Leo is really great, too, for what he did. Because, again, you can't control people's interpretations of what you say. You can make a comment on Twitter, whether you meant it or not, and somebody interpreting it correctly, and that's why we always have to think twice. But at the same time, everybody's so politically correct nowadays that, you know, it's kind of hard not to offend
somebody. And now you just got to take it, though. If Kevin Owens is going to come out and say something, and,
just take
Peyton Royce is going to say something, you just got to take it, and
you got to delete the tweet as soon as you can. And he did the apology, but, I mean, who knows if that was a good idea or not. Like,
Knows? Just say I'm sorry. Not a whole long thing where they can also misinterpret it, too. So that's
just like, I'm sorry for my earlier tweet. I mean, but it was like a laundry list of like, I'm sorry people got offended. And it was blown out of proportion. Yeah. I was like, oh, you were so close.
Oh, the good thing is probably that he handled it right away. So that's why, you know.
Oh, I mean, the backlash was like so immediate.
It's crazy.
You kind of don't have a choice. Yeah. But I know he didn't mean anything by it. Just like knowing him personally, it's just...
Yeah,
all those
just chuck it off to a little bit of immaturity, you know, whatever. That's fine.
You learn from it.
But let's get back to women's wrestling, though. The Mae Young Classic was, from whatever it says, a success.
Mm-hmm.
Still should have been a part of it, by the way.
Jordan, exactly. I was like, you know, wasn't there, but whatever. But
it'll happen eventually, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully.
Oh well. Talk about just the women's wrestling in the last few years. How much it's progressed to what it is now, where you have your own network special, and now you have so many different doors opening up for everybody. Talk about just the progression of women's wrestling in the past few years.
Honestly, I think the fact that we're even talking about women's wrestling right now, and I'm doing an interview about it, just speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Like, just the fact how popular it's gotten and how much better, like, female wrestlers have gone.
Yeah.
People take them more seriously in training. They teach them the exact same thing as the guys now. Yeah. Like, it's amazing to see how many, like, amazing female wrestlers are. Like, I know there was a match with, like, Rachel and Tessa at Wrestle Circus, and it was, like, huge deal. Everybody was putting it over as, like, one of the best female matches they've ever seen. And I agree. Like, they're both incredible. So, of course, they're going to have that kind of match. And I don't know. That's all I have to say about it. Like, women's wrestling, I just blown up so much in the past couple of years.
Who paved the way for you when you were growing up watching that? You were like, wow, this is somebody I want to kind of, like, be a template for.
I already
getting
know the
business
answer
for.
To that one.
Oh, really?
Arn Anderson.
Him too, but like.
Is that right?
Him too, yes, but women wise,
yeah.
In like the recent years, and not, I guess maybe not so recent, but Beth Phoenix was like a huge person for me too. Like,
yeah.
He's just like a presence in the ring, and she's massive, or she makes herself look massive.
Yeah.
Well, kind of her, like China, they kind of broke the mold of what a female wrestler per se was supposed to be.
But that was longer ago. Like, this was more recent stuff. Like,
yeah.
Beth Phoenix, Natalya, girls like that that aren't just like, I don't mean this offensively, but like toothpicks doing slap spots, you know?
Yeah.
They don't do stuff like that. They did like amazing, like stalling vertical suplexes, squatting. It was incredible.
Yeah, you talked about before how, like, you know, female talent are now known to be trained the same way the guys are, and they're expected to even perform, if not better, but just equally as the guys, which is a great responsibility.
You got ladder matches, you got Hell in the Cells now.
So much pressure.
Well, not just that, but also on the indie scene, you're seeing so much more great caliber women wrestling. You just mentioned Tessa Blanchard, Rachel Ellering, Santana Garrett, Jordan as well, being here talking to us. My question to you is, when you go out there and perform, I mean, I'm a huge admirer, Jeff and I, of your work, and you go out there. I mean, I guess the question I'm trying to ask for is, like, as your career progresses, is there a certain learning curve that you have to get that you're trying to figure out right now? Is it more in-ring skill? Is it more going out there and grabbing the microphone and going out there and talking to the audience to get that connection that you want as you progress in your career?
This year has been so big for me just because I've started implementing stuff that I've learned from people.
Mm-hmm.
Just like recently, like, I mean, my boyfriend John is obviously an incredible wrestler.
Boyfriend, all right, bye, guys.
Jeff, come back here. Stop it.
All right.
Be professional, for God's sakes.
All right, I'm sorry.
I've learned so much from him, and I just started, like, I had this mentality for a long time where I just, like, I was stubborn. I'm 21 right now. When I was a teenager wrestling, I just, like,
last year.
I mean, you're a teenager. Yeah. You think you're right all the time. Yeah. And in wrestling especially, you're not. You're
He's wrestling too, right?
He's
wrestled, he wrestles too?
Gresham, yeah. He's contracted to Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've learned so much. But this year has been so big for me, just, like, doing different things in the ring. I don't look at it as, like, oh, we're women's wrestlers, so we don't have to do that much in the ring.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't think about that, like, anymore. Santana Garrett, I just walked by again.
Of course.
But, yeah, there's a huge learning curve. I mean, I'm still learning to talk on the mic. Promos have always been hard for me. Just, like, I'm okay in front of a crowd, but just, like, having to go on the fly with stuff is kind of difficult. I think it's that way for most everybody. But
And again, you're 21 years old, so you have experience. But you said, like, just talking to you and seeing what you've done and what you've gone to this point, considering what the future holds for you, I'd say the future's bright, Jeff, wouldn't you say?
It's very bright. I mean, 21, I mean, you're...
And we're not just saying that because you're next to us right here talking to us.
You're starting to have great matches tonight. Santana Garrett, you're going to...
Yeah, I wrestled Jessica Havoc last night for the first time.
So, I mean, I guess it's the more matches you get under your belt, the more you're going to get better in the ring, and promos are going to come naturally. You seem like you're, you're breaking it now.
Well, you're easy to talk to. There's no question it's easy for you to speak your mind. guess it's just kind of translating
interviews
how you want to do
fine.
That.
Yeah.
Do that translating to the audience. Something with me is, you know, you keep yourself in great shape. I mean, this isn't digitally enhanced. These are actually her biceps.
Bigger than anybody else. Guys.
That's
no
why
Photoshop.
I'm wearing a jacket. Don't want to be embarrassed. But yeah, there's a difference between being in shape, obviously looking aesthetically pleasing to some mm-hmm. people, and then being in ring shape. Can you just kind of talk about the extent of that? You know, because I'm always adamant the fact that, you know, if this business was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
Not everybody would. So what's the difference between being in ring shape and being in physical shape?
Okay, well, you can be in great physical shape all day long. You can run miles every day. And as soon as you step into a ring, it's so completely different because not only are you running as fast as you can most of the time, you're also slamming people down. You're getting slammed. You're getting, like, the breath, like, literally, like, crushed out of you at some times. Yeah. Like, it's so freaking different. And the only way to get in good wrestling shape is to get into a ring and train. That's the only way to do it. No matter how many hours you spend on a treadmill or hours you spend on the track, like, nothing is going to compare to getting in the actual ring and doing matches. That's why I think, like, I used to get so blown up and I used to just die.
Yeah.
And
you got to pace yourself in the...
I mean, I say that I can't do over 8 minutes, but I think I can do, like, a workable 15 to 17 minute match. I wrestled Nicole Savoy and I love the guy, but for whatever reason, he wanted our match to be the longest match on the card at Black Label Pro.
Man.
And I was like, oh my God, it's so long. He wanted us to go 15 to 17.
Wow.
And the main event was like 15 minutes. That was it, 15 minutes. And so we wrestled like 16 minutes, and I was fine. I wasn't like dying or anything like that. So I think definitely the more matches you wrestle, the easier it gets to actually get in there and not die.
Yeah, and physically pushing yourself, too, to see where your limits are.
Yeah,
it's the only way you're
going
to find out how far you can go.
Yep.
If someone had to, if a promoter called you up tomorrow and said, Jordan, we're doing some MSG, you're going to main event, and you can pick your opponent, we'll fly her in, we'll do whatever, set it up, and they're like, just let us know who it is, first name that comes to your head.
Tessa is honestly the first person that comes to my head. I think she's amazing. Like.
Yeah.
She was one of my best matches that I had this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
I saw that match. It was incredible. I even tweeted about it. Like, I'm surprised you guys haven't worked more together.
I know. It was our first time wrestling. And honestly, when you first work with people, you normally don't click that well.
Yeah,
but we just, like, I don't know. We just
It's an easy clicked. Night when you take on somebody that
you...
Yeah,
because you can call a match start to finish. And, you know, if your timing isn't there, everything is going to get jumbled up and messed up.
We always talk about experience, and you're 21 years old, and we'll wrap this up pretty soon because you have to go back. Any plans on possibly going overseas, you know, going to Japan or going to Europe and wanting to do that to get that experience because it's a different world down there?
Well, I just went to Japan in October. So
did you go to TGI Fridays that they all go to?
TGI Fridays? Ribera? No. I didn't get to go. So, okay, Ribera is like, you're talking about the jackets, right?
No, the TJ Fridays where the elite always eat at because they're...
Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I thought you were talking about, you know, it's like a big rite of passage to get the jacket.
Oh, no, there's that barbecue place, right? The steakhouse where all the wrestlers go to.
That's Ribera.
That's it, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you're right. No,
I'm like looking around, I'm like, is somebody going to...
It's a rib? Is it a rib? No.
But yeah, you're supposed to get like a jacket thing.
Yeah.
And I really want to do that, but I guess it's a thing now where so many wrestlers have flown themselves to Japan.
Yeah.
Just to get this jacket. They stopped just giving them out. If you're saying you're a wrestler, you have to actually know somebody, and that person has to take you to the restaurant to get the jacket. So that sucked, because, you know, the lady that was there, I was only there for 10 days, so I didn't get to go. But that was awesome. Okay. One of my big goals for 2018 is to go to Europe, and I go there in March.
All right, awesome. All right, awesome. We'll follow you there. And my final question is, I've seen Alexa Bliss with this. I've seen you with it. What is the fad with getting a pet pig?
They're just so cute. And like, you know, pigs are just like dogs, right?
Yeah, but
they
actually are they going to grow?
Pets,
are they
going
to grow to do they know that they're going to grow to like that? You know, like
okay.
The,
first
the,
of all, obviously, yes, there's different kinds of pigs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
My mom has a potbelly pig, which is going to get huge. But I mean.
I know they're cute.
Dogs
I'd love, to get a pig too. But I mean, that's just—it's like a fad, though. I've noticed everyone's getting the pet pig now. What next, Jordan? What kind of next pet?
I think bats are next.
What bats?
Bats.
Oh my
Have you
God.
Seen bats?
No.
Do you know what a bat burrito is?
No, I haven't seen.
Oh my God! So
you gotta look it up.
They get these orphaned, abandoned baby bats, and they adopt them.
Really?
And they roll them up into burritos, and they feed them. They give them a little pacifier, and it's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow! Wow! It's amazing. Yeah,
look at that.
So I think that's the next pet.
Jordan,
thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. And may I indeed add, this is actually something she had made herself. So she is not
awesome.
Only a great professional wrestler, but also an excellent seamstress as well.
Look at that. Look at that, guys.
Awesome.
Person squatting. You like that?
Okay. Oh, awesome.
Jordan, thank you so much for your
time.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Jordan Grace, and we thank her so much for joining us on the High Spot Podcast. I am scared to death of what a bat burrito is. I really don't even want to fathom what it is, but I mean, everywhere you go, there's people with pet pigs now. I mean, don't they understand these things are going to be 2,000 pounds? But
well,
I guess,
Jordan said, depending on the pig you get, like depending on the dog you get, for example, it will depend on the size. But yeah, bat burrito, I was thinking, what, do they sell this at Taco Bell or something? I have no idea what she was talking about, but it's amazing. And before you know it, we're going to start seeing Facebook, Instagram photos and Snapchat photos, whatever, of people with pet bats. So it's not far-fetched. And hey, to each their own, Jeff.
That's crazy. But again, 21 years old and doing her thing, really amazing. I mean, her resume for her age is just, you know, again, take a look at it.
And she's just starting. She has youth on her side. And if you guys want to follow her and what she's doing in the upcoming booking she has leading towards the end of 2017 and the beginning of 2018, follow her on Twitter at Jordan Grace as well as Instagram at Jordan Grace as well. So thank you so much for that. Can't wait to have her in the near future again back on the show.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so wow, what an interview. But now as we kind of wrap up the show here, just a couple things. Any thoughts on Raw and SmackDown whatsoever? Any impressions that kind of left you? Because it was kind of a, just a lull, I would say, this week as far as the WWE side of things.
I think it's a lull for the last couple of weeks, but ultimately they're building up towards Clash of Champions for the SmackDown Live brand. But honestly, I think if we were to really discuss, we're going to discuss Clash of Champions. I really feel it's all about right now the Royal Rumble. The rumors of going now, we have, you know, some congratulating some call-ups, obviously, to the main roster from NXT up to the main roster. I think they're really looking towards doing a women's Royal Rumble match, which I think it's great. And it'll just, again, it's just expand the whole diversity of this whole women's revolution thing. And it's exciting to see because it's going to be something different, something we've never seen before. So I'm more excited for the Royal Rumble than I am Clash of Champions. But right now, they're building storylines to that. It looks like Raw is trying to fill in time for the Royal Rumble. So, yeah, it's definitely in this low period. But again, we're not surprised because it has happened before.
That whole Braun and Kane thing kind of just left me, you know, okay. And then the whole it's Roman Reigns, it's kiss his ass, you know, for getting over 500,000 likes on Instagram. We get it. You love him. But, you know, should it really matter how many likes you get on Instagram? In WWE's universe, it, you know, obviously does. But and on SmackDown Live, you got the little confrontation again going on between Shane and Daniel Bryan, like we talked about before. And then again, same thing, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and, you know, against them in the whole SmackDown Live hierarchy, kind of. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. And again, to Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, as well as Sarah Logan, do they continue to you know, cause trouble behind the scenes? And, you know, just what exactly is it that they're looking forward to do on SmackDown?
Well, the Riott Squad for reasons.
Yeah, so add another team out of Ruby Riott.
Exactly. A new name, you know. Thank God she has a full name, not just they cut out and just called her Ruby, or just Riott. But
and as far as NXT goes,
yeah, let's talk about them. Because, you know, we could talk about Raw and SmackDown another week because, again, you said it's been in a low period. But let's talk about the people's brand for a second. NXT. If you guys have followed us on NXT Weekly and follow us on the Fans Podcast, you definitely know what we're talking about. It's the brand of the future, but in reality, you see these performers on NXT, and like literally, you can run a whole company just around the brand NXT as well, because we enjoy it so much and we're very passionate about it because the talent is there, and I salivate, Jeff, just thinking about it. It's amazing.
You mean salivate, not salivate?
I said salivate.
Salivate.
I create my own words, Jeff.
This guy.
I'm a hybrid.
He's a hybrid, creating his own words, going venturing off to Exotica, the trendsetter.
Well, you wouldn't be a trendsetter if you didn't do that. And like I said, I'm a walking thesaurus that doesn't exist. So
that's awesome, man. But again, NXT.
I own it.
All right. So let's talk about NXT. And let's
yes,
talk about
the people's brand.
There you go. Jinx ain't going to buy me a Coke.
Is there an echo here?
Kerry Sane and Peyton Royce. Now, honestly, this is a perfect example of when you told me that Peyton Royce has improved by leaps and bounds, and it's again showing you that she is right on point, and she should be main roster ready, you know, any time now. And again, Kerry Sane, who, you know, is maybe not my cup of tea, but everyone likes her. She is being built as the underdog, and you have an amazing match between these two. And again, it just shows you right now that the women's division, you know, loses a lot of girls, you know, after the call-ups on SmackDown and Raw, and still it can be very competitive on NXT. We spent a long time before when we did NXT Weekly when we were talking about, oh man, now you have to replenish the division. Yeah. It was replenished. It was very deep. And now with all the call-ups now, you know, you have to, I guess, replenish that division again. But right now, Kerry Sane and Peyton Royce are doing a very good job keeping that women's division afloat.
Definitely. But not only that, I mean, we have our new champion, the NXT Women's Champion, Ember Moon. But again, in terms of replenishing the division, I think it's a little bit easier this time because we have the Mae Young Classic to thank for that. We've seen a lot of new girls there, so they can kind of be inserted in certain gaps that are missing now due to the call-ups. But yeah, I'm just so excited for, you know, I'm excited for Kerry Sane because this is a new venture for her, you know, coming to a kind of a new territory in the sense of trying to connect with the audience on that level. But I'm just so excited for Peyton Royce, not because she's incredibly beautiful and I'm in love with her secretly and I hate Ty Dillinger, but the mere fact that, like you said, her ability to establish a character and then from where we saw her in the beginning of kind of trying to find out where she is to now, I think she's figured it out and she knows who she is as a persona, as a performer, and she knows what she can do in the ring. It's just a great thing to watch. It's like literally watching your kids grow up, and I don't have kids, folks. You know, God forbid the woman that marries me. But you see them grow up, and it's just, it's great to see. And like I said, she could be one of the staples of that women's division, too. She's roster ready for the main roster, but right now I think her perfect spot right now is NXT, as well as Billie Kay.
Oh, I mean, exactly. But again, I think it's going to be interesting to see if, again, we put a lot of pressure on Ember Moon because she is the next one. The torch was passed to her, but now she's got to find a proper, I guess, dance partner. And it's going to be interesting to see if that is either a deterrent because the roster right now is not deep, or whether she can, you know, have great matches with a Nikki Cross, maybe, and a, you know, Peyton Royce. We'll see what happens down the road. No, again, you have...
It'll be a challenge for her, Jeff.
Yeah, it's going to be Kerry Sane, too, who's going to be in there, too. So it's going to be interesting to see if Ember Moon can carry that women's division now that you have to replenish it.
Talking about the women's division, though, and how it's replenished itself now, it's going to the evolution stage, but you have some staples there to keep it afloat. Let's talk about the tag team division. I mean, the opening contest for NXT was, you know, Street Profits. We like to joke with them and saying call them Crime Time or the Prime Times players. But you know what? They've come a long way. The crowd really is behind them. And, you know, their in-ring skill, as much as you don't like their gimmick or their persona, is really good. Had a great match with Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli. And, man, that kind of reminded me of old-school tag team wrestling, man. And it's amazing to see that the tag team division itself is actually working its way up to, like, the highest level that we saw early on when we first started covering NXT.
I mean, you're right, definitely. And Street Profits, yeah, you can, you know, kind of like poke fun at their gimmick, but the fans seem to love it. So if they're getting the fans to, you know, buy into it, then they've already, you know, won kind of, you know, they're already a step ahead of everybody else. So, yeah, Street Profits, I think will have a very good 2018 and they'll close out 2017 well. But I think, you know, I guess the sky's the limit for this team, too. It just shows you that there's a lot of talent down there. And so whatever happens, you know, to the Street Profits, you know, and I could say I'm not maybe their biggest fan or I've not maybe been convinced yet, but I really believe that, you know, the crowd loves them. So why not give them an opportunity? And you have another team of Moss and Sabatelli, which, again, that's another team that also you know, looks, you know, you're going to hear from them in 2018. So, you know, the tag team division has replenished itself. You got the Authors of Pain. You got Sanity. You got the Undisputed Era. You got Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. So definitely the tag team division has replenished itself. And, of course, we were waiting the return of TM61. So whenever that happens, you're going to have a tag team division that is stacked. So, I mean, the future of NXT is bright right now, and of course now the question is to can they get over that Drew McIntyre injury, which looks like he's going to be out for 6 months. Definitely will not be available for the NXT TakeOver in Philadelphia, so we wonder who is Andrade Cien Almas' opponent heading into that TakeOver in Philadelphia. We will find out as the tapings happened just a few days ago, and we will find out who exactly becomes that number one contender for the NXT Championship as the weeks continue.
Jeff, not only are we looking forward to who is going to be competing against Andrade Cien Almas and be that first contender for his newly won NXT championship, but let's talk about the United Kingdom athletes here. Let's talk about the United Kingdom championship for
hell
a bit.
Hell yeah,
there.
Man.
Pete Dunne, who's going to be next in line to compete against him? But before we kind of figured that out, we had some great tag team action. You know how much I love tag team wrestling. We had Tyler Bate and Trent Seven against Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews. And in my opinion, dude, this completely destroys 205 Live. It gives you a combination of 205 Live plus a combination of Strong Style, which we like. But my goodness, that roster, I think, is really untapped. When are we going to... Do you think we need to see more of the United Kingdom athletes on NXT TV?
We really do. I mean, it's so calling for having more of these guys on there. Pete Dunne is just a joy to watch. It was great to see him on Raw and make his debut. I mean, even when some of the UK guys got on 205 Live, I mean, you can tell that the attention's on the UK guys. Maybe it was also too because they were in England when that happened. But, you know, again, these guys need to be on TV more. Hopefully get that deal in 2018 to have some UK matches. But that UK title should be defended on NXT and on TakeOver. It should be. Definitely yes. We should see that. And, of course, we witnessed a great matchup between four amazing UK athletes. And the future's bright in UK wrestling. And if that's any hint of what's, you know, the untapped resources in the United Kingdom and over in Europe, man, it's an exciting time to be a fan of UK wrestling. It really is.
Now, there are several people you could put on the list, Jeff, of people who can go up against Pete Dunne for that title. Mark Andrews threw his name in the hat saying he wanted an opportunity against Pete Dunne. Who doesn't at this point?
At the end of the day, I want to see Tyler Bate one more time.
That's where I was going to get. Do we deserve another match between these two? I mean, Wolfgang, Trent Seven, all these guys, especially Mark Andrews, I think need to wait in line because I think we want to see that trilogy. We want to see the final culmination of these two great athletes, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne.
Yeah, I'm all for it. And if you were to put that match, especially when you know that Drew McIntyre is not going to be able to compete, and you really have to put your best card, you know, out there for TakeOver Philadelphia, you definitely want to have Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate in there. They're going to steal the show, put them out there for 30 minutes, and they're going to do a tremendous job. So again, UK wrestling is in full force in NXT, and it should be there every week.
Well, there you have it, folks. Our little wrap-up here of NXT. And like I said, I can't wait. If you guys haven't watched NXT or listened to our episodes at NXT Weekly, for what we've done, just talking about the people's brand, this is something to watch. Because as much as we talk about the independent scene, we talk about, you know, Raw and SmackDown Live and New Japan and Ring of Honor and Impact and things of that nature, it all comes from, it's all a combination of these individuals there. And like they've made names for themselves. And to watch them on NXT TV is just a joy to watch. So hopefully it gets more and more exciting because we love doing it. NXT TakeOver tickets will be available pretty soon, guys. So get your tickets, not before mine, though. And just really excited for this because the end of 2017 and 2018 looks bright for NXT.
Definitely. And again, I'm looking forward to NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. It's going to be great to attend there. And, you know, obviously the question is going to be who is going to be that challenger for Andrade Cien Almas, because right now I really think that they're very impressed with Zelina Vega and Andrade Cien Almas. I think that they've kind of, like, you know, not accidentally, but this has just been something that they kind of
they've struck lightning.
They didn't think it was going to blow up like this. So NXT is doing it great. Again, WWE right now kind of in a lull with Raw and SmackDown, so we're going to see what happens as they lead into Clash of Champions. But one thing we want to do here before we wrap up here on the show is two things. We're going to announce our guests for next week. Mm-hmm. We usually do that on our Facebook page, but since it is the season, we want to give you kind of the heads up.
You're
here.
So giving,
Jeff. Yeah, on the High Spot
so
podcast.
So nice, man.
Come I know. On. So we will do that. But, you know, so here's the interesting thing that I want to talk about, and that is that our network, Shining Wizards, are celebrating 6 years.
Congratulations to you guys.
To everyone there. We just were able to listen to their interview with Rosenberg, Peter Rosenberg from Hot 97. Mm-hmm. So, again, awesome. That's a great coup for any network to get.
Of course it would.
Especially, so that's awesome. And we wish them another 6, another 12, another 18 years of the Shining Wizards, and we thank them for you know, bringing us on to their network. And you can also listen to a bunch of great shows on there, too. You got, you know, Drink with Gino, Destruction 101. They have so many different shows. Again, also, too, let's not forget the B-Plus Player Radio Network. They've done a great job. And we thank Mark Adam Haggerty and, of course, the Fans Podcast. See the Fan, thank you so much for having us on. But 6 years is great. Imagine when we have our six-year anniversary show.
Oh, man, how can we stand each other for 6 years? It's going to be pretty impressive. It'll definitely be a golden anniversary, even though it's just 6 years. But you're right. It's exciting. I mean, we've just
You are a walking conflict trendsetter.
Well, I'm just stating like it is, man. I live in reality, Jeff. You live in fantasy. If you want to do that, that's perfectly fine. It is the season, so enjoy your holidays or Christmas, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, it's just exciting because we just finished off our 100th episode. It feels like a long time. We've kind of been doing this crazy ride, you and I, for almost about a year and a half, getting close to almost 2 years now. So for 6 years to be doing it at the rate that they've been doing it, at the professionalism that the Shining Wizards have been doing it, as well as all the other networks like the Fans Podcast and B Plus Player Radio Network, it's just great to be a part of it. You know, as cliche as that sounds and kind of corny, it is true to an extent because, you know, we're on this crazy ride with the crew joining us, and to be a part of it and be part of, like you say, La Familia, it's really nice. And so when you see those accomplishments and those feats done, it's kind of just inspiring for us, inspiring for anybody who's listening, that, wow, you know, you work hard and you plug away and do the daily grind like Jeff and I always do. And when you look at it, it's something to kind of like put your shoulders back and put your head up and be proud of. So we're proud of the Shining Wizards, and hopefully we'll join them soon, being 6 years not only with them, but being 6 years of the High Spot Podcast.
Hey, 6 years of anything is a tremendous accomplishment. So again, we congratulate you guys from the High Spot Podcast. We tip our collar and elbow caps to you guys. And of course, next week on the show, we will have Pat Buck as they head into WrestlePro on December the 9th. Of course, they're going to be taping for Impact Wrestling. You're going to have Alberto El Patron against Eli Drake, the Impact champion. So it's going to be a great night, man, and looking forward to being there. But Pat Buck, the creator of WrestlePro, will join us here on the High Spot Podcast. Long-awaited interview with Pat.
Long-awaited, but definitely well-deserved for the mere fact. It's great to have Pat Buck on the show because everything he's done for WrestlePro from, you know, obviously the inception of the idea and, you know, what happened to make it WrestlePro an individual brand, and now all the work he's put into, like I said, we've had promoters on before, and you really get an insight of the promoter and all the things that they have to go through during showtime. So just gives you a good perspective, not only Pat Buck the wrestler, Pat Buck the promoter, but Pat Buck the human being as well.
I mean, the fact that he was able to give us any time during the show was just crazy. Because
he's running around doing a million things.
Wears a million hats. So again, Pat Buck will join us on the High Spot Podcast next week. Of course, he's got his own podcast too, the WrestlePro Podcast with Pat Buck, which is also available on their website too, WrestlePROOnline.com. So again, the creator will join us. But if you guys want to hear this episode and so many great more, like the ones with Santana Garrett and Matt Cross from Battle Club Pro, then you need to listen to us on iTunes, on TuneIn, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on SoundCloud, anywhere. But make sure you leave that 5-star review and comment on iTunes. Let us know we're doing a great job. It really helped out the podcast a lot. You can also hit us up on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, and also on our Facebook page / High Spot Podcast, as well as our website, HighSpotPodcast.com. We've got everything going on. And of course, the YouTube channel, finally, long overdue. But you know what? Sometimes the best thing is you just got to wait for a little bit and you can catch our interview with Santana Garrett. Jordan Grace will be up again by the time you hear this.
And Jessa Rhodes.
And Jessa Rhodes, too, from Exotica, the Trendsetter, the Adventures of the Trendsetter. Also, it's going to be fun, man. I cannot wait to see this. I told Brian I do not want to see this until this is on the YouTube channel, so I will watch and enjoy.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. But I must say that I was sweating a lot because it was hot in there. I wasn't talking about the women. It was hot there. So if you see me perspiring, it's literally because there's no AC in the building. But I hope you guys enjoy it because, like Jeff mentioned before, it's just another venue, another venture. And Jeff calls it the Adventures of the Trendsetter. But it's more of just going outside the box a little bit and trying things differently. You know, Jeff and I don't feel, at least, we call ourselves a wrestling podcast. We call ourselves a podcast that's entertaining. So if we can find something that's exciting that you guys will enjoy, we will do it. And just something different sometimes. You know, you have pizza enough, it becomes kind of boring after a while. Not that this show is boring, but again, something different for you guys, the audience, because the crew, we appreciate you guys for all your support, following us on all the social media platforms out there, listening to us on all the networks that we're on. So like I said, this is a gift for the holiday season for you guys, the crew, to hopefully enjoy, and leads to other things in the future for Jeff and I.
Could there be two High Spot Podcasts in the same week? Oh my god. That just sucks for Brian.
Oh no.
That just more work for the Trendsetter, but you know what? Who knows? 2018, two episodes of the High Spot Podcast, one entertainment one and one wrestling. Wow, that would be just crazy, but you never know.
Labor of love,
with
Jeff.
The Trendsetter. So anyway, you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. You heard Jordan Grace. And, of course, the previous interviews are all on our website, highspotpodcast.com. You can listen to Santana Garrett and Matt Cross. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter. Wishing everyone a great weekend. And remember, folks, the weekends are for the crew.